Welcome to the Talking People podcast. Today I'm going to read some excerpts of a book called Metaphors We Live By, which was written by George Lakoff and Mark Johnson and published in 1980 by the University of Chicago Press. Language is powerful. And today we're going to explore a metaphor we live by, which is argument is war. The excerpts I've selected are about this. Before doing this, I'd like to share some thoughts. Feminists are people who have been able to question their own conceptual system, the language they use to express it, and the way they relate to their own selves and other people. On top of that, many have read and listened to people doing research like themselves, and also more theoretical research. The value of feminist work on language is astounding. However, most people, unaware of how their own conceptual systems are built and how language works to construct culture, mostly a tradition, are unable to develop any feminist curiosity and, worse still, feel they can despise and criticize what they are totally ignorant of. I'm excerpting some thinking by a non-feminist around language, which offers the same rich ground of thought and action feminists offer when we analyze language. I find these ideas really interesting to connect feminism and nonviolent struggle to these two, because these two are sources we should all be exploring to learn how to build a better world. For EFL students, for students learning English as a foreign language, considering these ideas can help you, for instance, when you practice your oral interaction and also when you practice real communication. You can read my notes on Talking People on the speaking section, click on discussions, and I have some notes based on nonviolent communication, which I learned about in the 1980s, which are notes that will help you learn how to hold rational discussions. That's on talkingpeople.net. And just say here that defending a position, in spite of the language we use, defending a position just means explaining your reasons to say something. Not agreeing should not mean fighting and repeating the same things over and over again. Agreeing on something is not one winning and the other losing, but both finding some constructive joint future action. If you collaborate, if you work together in your interaction or conversation, you will all win, so to say. And if you don't, you might all lose. This includes reality and also speaking tests, of course. So just think about it and try to practice different kinds of communication, nonviolent communication. Okay, concepts we live by. From the book Metaphors We Live By George Lakoff and Mark Johnson. This book was published in 1980 by the University of Chicago Press. I'm going to read some excerpts in chapter 1, pages 3, 4, and 5. Metaphor is for most people a device of the poetic imagination, a matter of extraordinary rather than ordinary language. Moreover, metaphor is typically viewed as characteristic of language alone, a matter of words rather than thought or action. For this reason, most people think they can get along perfectly well without metaphor. We have found, on the contrary, that metaphor is pervasive in everyday life, not just in language, but in thought and action. Our ordinary conceptual system, in terms of which we both think and act, is fundamentally metaphorical in nature. The concepts that govern our thought are not just matters of the intellect. They also govern our everyday functioning, down to the most mundane details. Our concepts structure what we perceive, how we get around in the world, and how we relate to other people. Our conceptual system thus plays a central role in defining our everyday realities. If we are right in suggesting that our conceptual system is largely metaphorical, then the way we think, what we experience, and what we do every day is very much a matter of metaphor. But our conceptual system is not something we are normally aware of. In most of the little things we do every day, we simply think and act more or less automatically along certain lines. Just what these lines are is by no means obvious. One way to find out is by looking at language. Since communication is based on the same conceptual system that we use in thinking and acting, language is an important source of evidence for what the system is like. Primarily on the basis of linguistic evidence, we have found that most of our ordinary conceptual system is metaphorical in nature, and we have found a way to begin to identify in detail just what the metaphors are that structure how we perceive, how we think, and what we do. To give some idea of what it could mean for a concept to be metaphorical and for such a concept to structure an everyday activity, let us start with a concept argument and the conceptual metaphor. Argument is war. This metaphor is reflected in our everyday language by a wide variety of expressions. Sentences that we can hear with the metaphor argument is war. Your claims are indefensible. He attacked every weak point in my argument. His criticisms were right on target. I demolished his argument. I've never won an argument with him. You disagree? Okay, shoot. If you use that strategy, he'll wipe you out. He shut down all of my arguments. Okay, now here is me just making a little comment. Notice how language has always used the masculine. Why was that? Women were banned from thinking and education. Traditionally, they've been considered unfit for rational thinking. Of course, this is not true. We should all be unfit now for exerting patriarchal reasoning, and we should all be finding ways to think beyond the patriarchal frame of mind, so solidly based on violence and misogyny, considering women inferior in everything. Today, we're developing empathetic rationality. This is reasoning which includes love or solidarity, a concern for life, and this is kinder, wiser, and better for our living together and the planet. And going back to the text, it is important to see that we do not just talk about arguments in terms of war. We can actually win or lose arguments. We see the person we are arguing with as an opponent. We attack their positions and defend our own. We gain and lose ground. We plan and use strategies. If we find a position indefensible, we abandon it and take a new line of attack. Many of the things we do in arguing are partially structured by the concept of war. Though there is no physical battle, there is a verbal battle, and the structure of an argument, attack, defend, counterattack, etc., reflects this. It is in this sense that the argument is war metaphor is one that we live by in this culture. It structures the actions we perform in arguing. Try to imagine a culture where arguments are not viewed in terms of war. And now it's me. But in terms of collaborating, for instance, in joint thinking, or collaborating to learn together, to know, to find out things together, or to solve problems together. Now, back to Lakoff, where no one wins or loses. and my comment is, but everybody learns a bit more about himself or herself, or about people, or about the world. Back to Lakoff, where there is no sense of attacking or defending, gaining or losing ground. And my comment is, but a sense of contributing ideas for joint analyses and contributing experience for joint reflection. It's like teamwork in the midst of conflict and of life. And then the last excerpt I wanted to read is from chapter 3. It says, in the midst of a heated argument, when we are intent on attacking our opponent's position and defending our own, we may lose sight of the cooperative aspects of arguing. Someone who is arguing with you can be viewed as giving you their time, a valued commodity in an effort at mutual understanding. And my comment, this is just what I was trying to comment a minute ago, when we together pursue more knowledge, more wisdom, or try to solve problems around us. This is when we collaborate for our common good. And then, but when we are preoccupied with the battle aspects, we often lose sight of the cooperative aspects. The cooperative aspects of arguing, right? This knowledge building and this problem solving. Well, I hope that you mull over all of these ideas, because we should really improve our way of viewing and performing discussions. In the same way, we should learn to stop connecting love to obligation. For obligation degrades and distorts love. And love is something very natural that comes very naturally to people when they relate to other people in whichever form, say solidarity, it's very natural. But the moment we are brainwashed into obligation, love is strangled. So in the same way, let's hope that when you start a discussion with someone, you will remember this little podcast episode and will think, well, I'll try to collaborate. I'll try to give my best ideas, and I'll try to build a dialogue with the other person to see if we can work together in favor of all of us, okay? Well, that's all for today. I'm sorry I lost the recording and I couldn't record it all in one go, so sorry about that. Have a nice day.